literally working to take us steps back in our efforts to moving towards renewable energy.
Grassroots organizers like yourself have spent countless hours researching and talking to folks, doing publicity. But being in Eugene, your efforts have encouraged the local government there to actually consider putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak. Do you have any advice for other communities around the country?
I mean, just advice, if you're passionate about something and you see that there's something wrong, it's absolutely so important to come speak up, present, come bring your perspective. And that when, if you're right and you are, if, I mean, if you're on the right side of history and you're able to convince, you know, one, two, three people to come, those people can then also convince more, and then you can grow a coalition, just like what happened with this fossil free Eugene coalition that's begun.
You've been listening to interviews with Dylan Plummer of Cascadia Wildlands and Tim Morris of the Springfield Eugene Tenants Association. Additional audio is from councilors Claire Syrett and Jennifer Yeh of the Eugene City Council, as well as Catherine Williams of Northwest Natural. Learn more about the Grassroots Climate Campaign and the Fossil Free Eugene Coalition at 350eugene.org. You can also find more information about this program at kboo.fm. For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Nat Moon.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
I would like to thank that Chicago was not a promised land, but it was definitely a short-lived heaven for black people.
Join KBOO on Wednesday, February 24th at 6:30 p.m. for an online panel discussion featuring the filmmakers of the documentary BAM, Chicago's Black Arts Movement. Panelists also include Chicago poets Angela Jackson, Illinois Poet Laureate, and Yusani Eugene Perkins, esteemed poet and youth advocate. Register online to attend this free KBOO event. Everyone who registers will get a link to the full documentary for up to a week before the panel for viewing. Again, that's BAM, Chicago's Black Arts, Movement, online panel discussion on Wednesday, February 24th at 6:30 p.m. For more information and to register to attend the panel, go to our website today at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for a development director. Our development director oversees KBOO's fundraising, donor and business outreach, and leads the development team with light supervisory duties. Our ideal candidate has at least 4 years of proven development experience in the nonprofit sector, preferably with significant foundation and major donor fundraising work. For a complete job description and instructions on how to apply, visit kboo.fm/employment. Apply by February 24th. KBOO is an affirmative action and equal opportunity employer.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio. To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the night driver out in your cab alone. To you waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Jamie Partridge, and tonight we're talking with Sunita Patel, a housekeeper at Legacy Emmanuel Hospital, and Lorna Wood, a certified nursing assistant at Legacy Emmanuel Hospital, members of the Service Employees International Union, Local 49. Welcome to Labor Radio, Lorna and Sunita. Legacy Health is a system of 6 primary care hospitals, a children's hospital, and allied clinics. It's the second largest healthcare system in the Portland metro area, and SEIU Local 49 represents workers at 2 of the local hospitals, Emmanuel and Good Samaritan, and many of the hospital's housekeepers and CNAs, certified nursing assistants, are immigrants and people of color. Recently, the housekeepers at Emmanuel had their hours cut from 8 to 7.5 hours per day, resulting in pay cuts. This on top of the fact that the housekeepers and CNAs remained some of the lowest paid hospital workers. Now these workers are in a struggle for equity and racial justice. To start off, Sunita, Lorna, tell us what your jobs consist of and what it's like working on the front lines of this pandemic. Either one can go first. Would you go ahead?
I'm Lorna. I'm a resource pool CNA. I do bedside patient care. My job is to fill in the holes, whether it be at Emmanuel, Good Sam, or Randall Children's Hospital. I can be there all day, or there could be a census change, a need change, and end up at another campus or another unit.
Wow. And Sunita, what's it like? What's your job like?
I work for Randall's day surgery, cleaning out discharge rooms. I have been on light duty due to my knee surgery, but my coworkers have been working COVID rooms since COVID has been in place with little or no protection.
And you, did you say with or without protections?
With little or no protection.
Oh, with little or no protections and working COVID rooms. Oh, mm-hmm. My goodness. So what do you mean by little or no protection?
I feel like our masks are not made for 8 hours. So recently, because I'm doing screening, and I've noticed that on the box it said 4 hours of use, and a lot of these people are wearing them for 8 hours or more.
Yeah.
Or 12 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours or more. And I think it's not protecting the workers, nor is it protecting anybody that comes in there that's wearing them for 8 to 12 or 16 or 20 hours, whatever it may be.
And this is in rooms with identified patients that are infected with COVID.
Yeah, it could be COVID rooms. It could be non-COVID. COVID rooms, I think we have to wear, am I right, Lorna? Proper PPE?
Correct. When you go into a COVID room, you switch out your mask. It's a different kind of a mask that you would wear. Then you have your eyewear, but yeah.
So what's it been like?
I don't know. Say that again?
Well, what's it been like for you, Lorna, with PPE and other protections for COVID?
It's changing. It's changing a lot. It was, basically non-existent at the very beginning of pandemic. Now we've changed to kind of cater to it, but there's still not enough. Like, our isolation gowns are always different, always changing. They're either feel too thick or not enough. Our face masks, I think we are running through them so often that the brands change, and it's gotten to the point that you put it on and if a string pops off, they literally want you to sit down and take the time to type up a complaint, essentially, that your mask you know, fell off or fell apart or whatever. And who has time to do that in the middle of their day because they're having PPE failure, or the proper PPE isn't where it needs to be for you to go into a room.
What are the staffing levels like? Are people out? Have folks been out on either infected or on quarantine? And what's it been like for being able to get the work done? Being able to provide.
I mean, there is a staffing issue. That's kind of just the nature of the beast, and it's there more so during pandemic because there have been some people out, whether it's because they are ill or because of an exposure. And depending on what symptoms you have, if you're feeling ill, you're supposed to call our COVID hotline, and they'll kind of instruct you whether or not you should stay home or not, and if it calls for the need to test or not.
So are they doing the contact tracing or the testing that they need to be doing?
They are doing testing. I can't necessarily say whether or not they need to be doing it as in when they should, we feel like they need to be doing it, but mm-hmm. they are doing some testing.
And what about hazard pay? Anything like that happening? Was that a joke?
It is a joke.
It is. They have not answered that piece of our proposal. It's been brought up, and there's no response to that part since we brought it up in September.
So I'd like to add a little bit to that.
Go ahead.
As many other hospitals are getting it, Fred Meyer's and Target, and they're all getting hazard pay.
Yeah.
But Legacy still refuses to answer and give us anything on COVID pay.
And what about access to vaccines? You're supposed to be your frontline workers. You're supposed to be getting it first. What's happening with that?
We do have vaccines. I can attest to say that I'm fully vaccinated. I got my vaccination 2 days after we rolled it out.
That at least is good. And you?
I've had both of mine too.
Good. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Wow. So the Emmanuel Management has just cut your hours, Sunita, is that right?
Yes.
What's going on there?
So recently the housekeepers at Emmanuel had their hours cut from 8 to 7.5 per day, resulting in sufficient pay cuts while newly hired employees are receiving 8-hour shifts.
What?
Yeah, management refuses to give back hours to senior employees. Many of those have been working there 25 to 30 years. Legacy still wants to do the same amount of work in less time, complete our job duties. This is unfair. Every one of us are losing $5,000 per year with a reduction in hours. While Good Sam makes a good amount of money, we do the same amount of work, the same job. Till today, Legacy cannot explain why our pay should not be the same.
Oh, you're saying that Good Sam is getting 8-hour shifts and
they're getting 8-hour shifts. Their pay is higher than what we make being a trauma one hospital.
They're in a more desirable location. And, staff in the same job classes that exist at Emmanuel are at a higher pay rate than those that.
Let's make sure that our listeners know that Emmanuel is in North Portland, in the heart of the historically Black community, and Good Samaritan is in Northwest Portland, at the base of the Portland Heights, which is the most affluent portion of Portland. Does that tell you something? And what about the composition of the the workforce? Is the workforce as racially diverse in Good Samaritan as it is in at Emmanuel?
The position, a lot of the positions held with in food service, in housekeeping, CNAs, it's just as diverse.
Just as diverse in Good Sam. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's really about who are the people that come to that hospital, and what hospital, where is it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Location that they serve.
Being a trauma one hospital, the ED tech and every person that works there, union or non-union, do the same amount of jobs. It's more of a challenge at Emmanuel because of a trauma one hospital.
What does that mean, a trauma one hospital? What does that mean?
So all the traumas, if there's any traumas, like OHSU and I guess OHSU. Emmanuel, we get all
sorry, Lorna.
Trauma one, there's life flights. Mm-hmm. If there's a need to for a helicopter to go get a patient and fly them in, they're going to fly them into Emmanuel or they're going to fly them into OHSU. They're not going to fly on top of.
This is where people that are really battered up from accidents or mm-hmm. gunshots or whatever show up at these hospitals. That's a trauma hospital.
Trauma hospital.
Yeah, got it. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Labor Radio, KBOO Portland, where the guests tonight are Lorna Wood and Sunita Patel, workers at the Legacy Emmanuel Hospital, represented by Service Employees International Union. So you're in the midst of a contract negotiation for a new union management agreement, and what are the demands that you're bringing to the table?
We're at a difficult time in history. There's a lot of racial injustice happening. Many of our members are Black, Brown, immigrant, and women. Staff don't feel supported or equal. We're working to address this in our contract to ensure living wages, affordable health care, and COVID protections are put in place. We're also in the middle of a pandemic. We don't feel protected, whether that means having access to appropriate PPE or, if we fall ill, having to deal with a COVID exposure. We're essential to Legacy and to our patients. We should have a paid leave and not have to deal with losing wages or having to use sick time or coming in sick.
Mm-hmm. And so what are your current wages, if I may ask, per hour?
I am at our max. I think Sunita, we're both at our max.
I'm at my max too.
Yeah, and she's been there significantly longer than I have. I've been there for almost 8 years.
So what is the starting wage and what's the max wage?
I don't know what starting is. Max is $22.50 for my position.
Yeah, I think 15 to 20 is ours.
Did you say 15?
Mm-hmm.
Starting? 15. Oh, goodness gracious. And what's happening with healthcare, with your health insurance?
Every year, the cost of our healthcare is rising.
Oh, my.
And here you're raise our insurance by 10%, which one of my medicines, I was paying $10, now I am paying $15. Mm. It's a ridiculous amount of money, and my husband's insulin is costing me a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are
working at a hospital.
Yes, and we work for healthcare.
And you work for healthcare, and you can't, and you're experiencing expensive healthcare for yourselves. And what about paid leave? If you have to quarantine or if you're infected with COVID, is the hospital providing paid leave for everyone for COVID related?
It is existent. It is there. It maxes out at 14 days, and it's kind of delegated up to the COVID hotline and management as to if you get it or not. I know if they tell you you have to stay home and, you know, you're going to get COVID tested up until the day that test comes back and it's negative, then you get paid through that. And if you're sick afterwards, then no, not so much. And you could be, you could be sick beyond the 14 days. And to my knowledge, it's, you get 14 days and then after that it's out of your pocket.
And so we know so many people that, that have lingering, if they're infected, it's much more than 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
And
I know.
Do people have adequate
one of our
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, one of our members who's also on the bargaining table with us, who's also a CNA at Emmanuel, you know, she contracted COVID. She was out for, they gave her 6 days and she had to use one of her own, you know, vacation day for another one because she, she's part-time. So she works 2 days a week. So while the whole time she was sick, I guess it only accumulated to being to 7 days of work. They paid her for 6 and then she had to use her own vacation time for the other day.
Right. So what is it that you're seeking at the table? What are you trying to get the hospital to do, and how are they responding?
They haven't at all.
So everything we're on the table, Legacy brings back nothing, with no respect at all.
And how long
so
is this?
We sit at negotiations and offer us nothing. So we feel that's a great amount of disrespect.
And so you're looking for what wage increase? What are you looking for?
We're looking for wage increases. We're looking for some, you know, hazard pay, some kind of compensation there. We would like to be able to afford our health care if, you know, you've already changed us, you know, changed our premiums, and sure, you can't change it in the middle of a year or whatever, and it's system-wide, but you can help us afford it.
And this is, how long have you been at the negotiating table?
Since September.
Since September. Oh my goodness, almost 6 months.
So basically we want, what we want is racial justice and economy justice, healthcare justice, our 8 hours back, and a pay raise that we can afford to live somewhat.
So 6 months and they haven't responded yet. And
we're not being fair with them.
I'm sorry, what?
We're not being unfair with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're just asking for fairness, like be fair to your workers.
Well, and they have the money. They can afford it.
They have the money.
So how are you organizing your members to put pressure on your boss to do the right thing?
We've had flyers circulating. We have had sticker ups. We educate and inform our coworkers in passing. I've sent out mass texts and emails. We've had events on Inauguration Day. There are a strength in numbers. And we wanted to show solidarity that we too are in the fight on economic and racial inequality.
Great. When you say sticker up, for those who aren't familiar, what does that mean?
Just we have union stickers and we just put them on just, you know, to show that we are in support and we know what's happening, especially because right now our, you know, with our governor's rules in the pandemic, we can't all be in the same room to meet. So, you know, a lot of us are at home. Some of us that can't do it from home are at the union hall doing this. But, you know, we're all just kind of spread apart. So by stickering up, it kind of shows that, you know, we're all in it together.
Mm-hmm. And we support each other.
Great. And so
I can echo with what Lana has just said. As I'm a person of color, and I'm a woman, and I'm a mother, we're all trying to, for racial injustice and economy justice. It's hard for people of color. It really is.
There's been a lot of news and attention paid to the Black Lives Matter movement, which was front and center at the Inaugurate Justice Action, and some Emmanuel workers rallied in March. This was last month on Inauguration Day, on Inaugurate Justice Day, but also, you know, raising the demands of healthcare for all, and COVID relief, and housing assistance, and jobs for all. And Sunita, you spoke at the rally, and so why did you all join that Inaugurate Justice Action?
Well, we would like people to come together and give us the support, and because this is a tough time for us, trying to get what we want, and we're not getting anything, so we're asking for support here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of brutality against Black, Brown, and Asian people due to the politics and because of the opinions circulating around COVID. You know, we're dealing with a lot, and the procrastination makes us all feel that it's not a factor to them. It doesn't affect them.
Right, they're just exacerbating the damage from the COVID epidemic, which is of course hitting Black and Brown communities hardest.
Mm-hmm.
So Emmanuel Hospital has a long history of injustice toward the Black community, beginning with the displacement of Black families and businesses in 1970. And so how do you see your fight with Emmanuel as part of this long struggle for racial justice?
I mean, it's definitely a fight, not just in the workplace, and as you mentioned, it's also outside. As Sunita mentioned, they've cut hours where there are a lot of minority and already don't make comparable wages. Economic justice and racial justice go hand in hand. We are demanding living wages and affordable health care so that our members, who are mostly Black, Brown, and immigrants, can have a job at Legacy with a career path that moves us all beyond poverty and level of living.
So how can our listeners learn more and keep in touch with your struggle?
So we are on Facebook at SEIU 49 for any updates.
SEIU 49, just that's the name of the Facebook page?
Yeah, at SEIU 49.
SEIU 49, all right. Great. So, Sunita, thank you, Sunita. Lorna, do you have any last words before we sign off?
Thank you for having us on your show and for helping us get our word out.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And thank you. That wraps it up for this session of Labor Radio this Monday and every Monday evening from 6 to 6:30. We've been talking with Lorna Woods and Sunita Patel of Service Employees International Union Local 49 at Emmanuel Hospital. Thanks to our engineer, and stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. You are listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. We are very honored today to have Juan Chavez from the Oregon Justice Resource Center. Juan, welcome to KBOO.
Thanks for having me.
And you are the civil rights person?
Yeah, I'm the OJRC's project director for the Civil Rights Project.
Oh, great. So we've had OJRC on a bunch of times, and we're going to be talking tonight about COVID and what's been going on in the prisons. But first, just for listeners who may not be aware, can you tell us what is the OJRC?
Sure. So we're a nonprofit just entering our 10th year this year, in fact. And we house a number of projects that are meant to really provide direct client services to otherwise neglected areas of legal services in Oregon. So we have a Innocence Project where we help people get actual claims of innocence filed in court if it's feasible. We have an Immigration Rights Project, a Women's Justice Project for those attorneys actually go into Poppy Creek and provide direct legal services for any and all things that otherwise might not be available. And we now have a youth rights project that's blossoming, and also the Civil Rights Project.
Great. Yeah, I know OJRC has like been the go-to organization for a lot of prison rights activists for many years now. So we're so grateful that you exist. So we'd like to talk tonight about what's going on with COVID in the prisons. We've done a bunch of shows about COVID here on Prison Pipeline. We've talked to lots of folks from OJRC, but obviously this is an ongoing issue. It started last spring when there was a lawsuit that was brought by the OJRC. You know, and we were talking about trying to encourage the governor at that time to take the most medically vulnerable and, provide for safe social distancing within Oregon's prisons. And, you know, that didn't really happen. And it's gone all the way through till recently, where there's finally been a federal, a judge ordering that the